Have I told you guys that I used to live in Australia?
Yes.
Yeah, do tell.
I mean, if you've met me for 2 seconds, I tend to work it into the conversation.
True.
As one would imagine. Talk about having a fun fact for an icebreaker for the rest of your life, right? Like, you know, everyone else is going around the room with like some whatever. Oh, I tried pickles, fried pickles. Oh, it's fun.
I love Halloween.
My
That's
turn.
Usually mine.
Yeah, my turn. Oh, no big deal. I lived in Australia. Like, oh, no. Oh, you have questions. Oh, my God, shocker. But we lived in Sydney, Australia for 2 years with my husband and kids. So we moved as a family for my husband's job. And I actually worked remotely for a U.S. company there. So I would start working Tuesday through Saturday at 4:30 in the morning from our kitchen table because my office was in the bedroom and it was pre-COVID. And so I didn't, like, I would, during, they have like the camera, like severe angle against the window so that people couldn't see that I was recording from my bedroom as if there was like, you know, some shame of not wanting to spend an extra, you know, $2,000 a month to have an office. But it was so interesting, like the different terminology as we talk about like cringy corporate speak, that's why I'm so curious of different countries, but it was amazing. Like the Australian people were fantastic, all of this like terminology and things like that. But so once was I had a really good friend there who's a CFO, like a female powerhouse CFO. And she'd gotten divorced. But so she'd asked me, she was like, we met at CrossFit. So she was tough as nails. But she said, would you help me with my online dating profile? And
that's fun.
Yeah.
I helped people.
Yeah,
I would love to help somebody.
That's exactly the type of thing. Like if you're at work and you have a pressing deadline and you're like, I'm really focusing on this. And someone's like, oh, it's going to have you work with my dating profile. Like, sure. Move everything away. Like,
cleared my schedule.
Yep, this is much more fun. But so she had this profile. But so she was explaining to me, she's like, I'm signing up for this site called dateatradie.com. And I was like, what's that? You know, well, she was like, oh, have you not heard the commercials? She's like, that's how I learned about it. I'm like, not. So basically, it was a whole site in Australia to sign up to like, you know, shag a handyman. But an amazing, like to find a partner that you know that they're going to be handy. And so all of these things. But I remember thinking to myself, like, I don't know. Okay, like I get it from like a helpful perspective. But I'm like, you're just dating. Like I don't really get it. Let me tell you, we were in a rental. The first time a tradie came over to like fix our, you know, toilets, probably toilet. I show up at the door and I'm, you know, dressed like a ragamuffin. I think I had like a Pizza Hut pizza, like in one hand. I open it. I mean, it's like the start of a softcore
bad
movie.
Corner.
I mean, every single time.
I took it farther.
Well, you've never seen anything. I mean, it was literally like staring at like the Netflix, like, blah, blah, blah. So I suddenly got exactly why someone might want to sign up to date a tradie, especially someone that's worked in corporate America that's like, I need someone that is handy. And I said it was like,
gorgeous.
It was like Chris Hemsworth. Chris Hemsworth on my front door as opposed to the U.S., which is
Bob.
But, you know, Bob or just...
Oh. Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan.
Right.
It's like a Pierce... It was
Russell.
Like, yeah, Russell.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was like, I tell you what, I remember when people would ask me these questions about Australia, and I was obviously still to this point eager to talk about them, but it was a really remarkable thing. So there are some benefits to working from home. So I can see why the, you know, anyone in Australia is going to be really against the RTO mandates because
Ashley was constantly breaking her toilet.
it was the fourth time I was a little suspicious.
Right.
Can you send Chris Hemsworth again? But they like, would. We would do like grocery delivery. They'd have grocery delivery come, and I liked to do that because I shop like an American, and so I'd have a full I'd have a full cart, and people, oh my God, like eyes emoji, like. And so they would come, and every time it was a different person, and they'd be, oh, Miss, where'd you like your bags? It's, I can't do an accent, but but I have to tell you, some of those cultural differences were really, really fascinating. So any of the listeners in Australia, because I know that we
have some.
My goal is to get the HR besties to Australia so I can shut the fuck up about how great it is. And you all can
prove it.
Tradies and also, if there's a tradie convention.
Yeah, a tradie convention.
Then let's do it. But so your global teams, ask them about what's unique about your environment, because that's probably what I would have told. And I probably would have gotten disciplined. But there we go.
So tradies is a thing. thing. So that's like the American equivalent of pool boys or something.
Yeah, like it's literally like you handyman, plumber, like yeah. plumber. Oh yes, exactly. Yeah. Right. Like yeah. the Desperate Housewives.
Exactly.
Yep. Jesse Metcalf. Yep.
There you go. Yep. That.
Right. Yeah, because like our plumbers are known for ass crack.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. So please, Australia.
Yes, Australia. Australia 2024.
Sponsor us.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah. I know I have a lot of followers in Australia. So if you're hot, reach out. Let us know.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go ahead and kick off our staff meeting, HR Besties. We are going to start with some cringe corporate speak, and I'm on the agenda for that today. And then we are going to move over to our hot topic, which is all about employee engagement surveys. Don't we all love them? We are all shaking our head. Yeah, that was
<They're>
convincing.
Great.
That's great. We love them. But we're going to talk about all things employee engagement surveys. And then, of course, we are going to end with some questions and comments before we move into our hard stop. As always. And so I'll kick it off with the cringe corporate speak. And it's one of my favorites. And it's something that I favorite to make fun of. I've got several TikToks on this that went viral, but it's we're like family here. We are like family here. Now, if you are interviewing with somebody and they pull out the F word, which is family, run. Just absolutely run, because that is going to be a workplace that lacks accountability, that probably doesn't have defined roles and responsibilities, and they are going to exploit and gaslight the fuck out of you. And I'm sorry,
facts.
They just are. Facts.
Hashtag facts.
Yeah. Just put it in the job, the job posting. Yeah. So to job, just put it in there so
we're
can,
like family here.
You can send the red flag right away.
Exactly.
Yeah,
put it
run.
At the top.
Yeah.
Bold it at the top.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that honestly just screams toxic to me.
Well, I've definitely been in environments that would say that. And there's times I really didn't think about it until all of a sudden it's like, you know, job loss, things like performance terminations, like these difficult conversations. Oh, I'm sorry, you had a loss, but you only get 2 bereavement days per leave. So no, you that's not going to happen. Like, oh, that's very familial of you. It really is an exploitative term. Flat out. And it's not. It is a working relationship. And, you know, someone should put that effort in. You should encourage them to put that effort in. But I completely agree. It tends to take those aspects and really mind fuck employees.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's ick. It's ick.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not a family. You're a team. If you're doing it right, right? That means there's accountability, there's respect and dignity. Because let's be honest, there's no one you treat worse besides yourself than your family. Because you're so close to them, and because you can, they're going to maybe love you anyway. I mean, you know, but that's just how it is. You're in close quarters with somebody. You're your real authentic self, like hardcore, sometimes gross in some ways with those people. And so you do not want that in the workplace at all.
No.
And so we are like family here. We'll try and drop that here throughout the episode. Feel free to cringily use it during your workday as well. But from a hot topic perspective, segue into employee engagement surveys. And, you know, if you do have a family workplace, do you give a fuck what your family thinks?
No, you don't.
I'm going to do a family survey. I'm just going to my real family.
Oh, there you go.
Survey monkey.
I'm an invite to the survey.
Non-anonymous.
No, it's not. No, it is not. Well, maybe if you want to get the real.
Yeah, if you want to get the real
let's do that. We'll play a game just like they do in corporate, which we'll get to, which is to do a survey in the anonymous survey. You want to figure out who said what.
Yeah.
Who said what. And so that's a game you can play with your real family. That sounds kind of appealing.
There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. My mom graduated law school at 54 and ran her first marathon at 56. And I love hearing those stories. But I realize I also have so many questions about what it was just like for her growing up And I want to hold on to all of those stories, but also make it really easy for her to preserve them. So just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift to do just that. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps to capture her stories and turn them into precious memories for our family forever. How it works. So every week, Storyworth will email my mom, or your loved one, a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. We always had music playing in the house growing up, so I asked my mom about a song that was memorable to her. And Storyworth makes writing really easy, so all they have to do is respond to the email with a story. Like, long or short, doesn't matter. And you get their responses through the year, so you can see what they're saying and hear their stories. And then at the end of that year, Storyworth puts together all of the stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book, so you can look at it time and again, keep it for yourself, get multiple copies. And families love Storyworth. So for this Mother's Day, give all of the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/HRBesties. That's storyworth.com/HRBesties to save $10 on your first purchase. Do you need a place where you can combine your notes and documents? One that's simple, beautifully designed, and even has AI built right in? That's Notion. So how do you use it? Well, I used it to create an interactive version of my new employee guidebook. Now, I created this guidebook for new hires to have prompts of questions you can ask your boss and others. So when you start a new job, you not only sound smart, but feel smart. I first created it as a paperback, but now I've turned it into a Notion template so people can use it more easily and add and update their own notes. Notion is a place where any team can write, plan, organize, and rediscover the joy of play. It's a workspace designed not just for making progress, but getting inspired. Through AI, it can help take meeting notes and generate action items. Like, it takes what I created with the guidebook and makes it super powered. Now, you don't have to be a new hire to use Notion. You can use it as a manager, experienced employee, even a business owner. Try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/HRBesties. That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/HRBesties, and start turning ideas into action. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show. So go to notion.com/HRBesties.
So I'm going to jump in here and, and kick us off, because in pretty much every single one of my jobs, I've been the person that has manned the engagement survey or satisfaction survey. I womaned it.
Yeah, you womaned it, so you did it
right. I womaned it. So
just kidding.
That is from the beginning. Preparing the questions.
The genesis.
Benchmark. You know, the benchmark. What did we do last year? How mm-hmm. where do we want to go mm-hmm. this year? To the census. Typically, you are in this, and I've done a series on this on TikTok.
Wait, what's a census?
Oh, just like an employee listing. Census data. Okay. Like your employees.
Who's yeah. getting sent to, and so, all the demographics.
Yeah. So, you know, typically you're working with a third party. Don't get me wrong. Some people don't. That's a different, we'll get into that. And then all the way to the end, right? So when we get the results, where did we hit? Where did we not hit? What can we do to improve? What action plans are managers putting in place? Literally sitting with managers and helping them action plan, because half the time it's just a whole bunch of fucking jargon and pie charts. And you're like, I don't know what any of this means. So if the company takes it serious enough, I can see true results. I've seen them personally mm-hmm, myself. Mm-hmm. True results can occur from engagement surveys. I think the problem is there is such a stigma around them and them being truly anonymous. And the truth is I don't want you to take it as an employee if you're not going to be honest. And I understand you're worried. But what I can tell you in all my years is they are truly anonymous. Now, if they are
the ones you've done.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I do know that, you know, I've had a couple of people reach out to me through social media and be like, and I'm like, oh, it doesn't sound like it could be anonymous. You know, you make that decision. If you don't feel comfortable responding, don't. And that's okay. But I will say the demographics, the census that are sent to that third party, typically what has to be on there is your name, your work email address, sometimes even your zip code, because that might be what logs you into the system. That the company, the third party does know who mm-hmm. said what. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, I signed a contract that I'm not allowed to have that information. And I know you're like, oh, I bet she's bullshitting. I swear to God. I've never been able to pull who it mm-hmm. is. The only time that I have been able to is in the text box, they've put something very specific that only HR or that manager's going to know what the hell they're talking about. And I'll tell you, I can't believe how many people incriminate themselves. But we do, like, at least every survey, I would suggest this to all of our HR pros out there, too, is have, like, a red flag piece. So the keywords, harassment, retaliation, mm-hmm, yeah. That those are immediately flagged and sent to somebody, whether it's you who's womaning the survey or even your leader, that can start that investigation immediately. Because what we did is it was a healthcare system and it was all across the country specifically. So when we'd have those, we would immediately start an investigation. It would say the location, but it would tell us nothing else. So we knew we had a starting point. And that's kind of where we went from there. But, you know, also it's, what do you do then after the yeah. engagement survey wraps? What happens then?
Well, some of us, I mean, to your point, one thing you said at the beginning was overall getting a sense of how people are feeling and getting their input is really important. And sometimes a survey, you know, can do that, or there's mechanisms of it. And so in HR Besties, we want to talk about the things that are important, but also the way that things at times go wrong and what you can do, all of you listeners and our ideas to make those better. And so I agree. Some of it is communication. I mean, I've worked on like anonymous hotline type things, which aren't surveys, but similar. But whether it's yes. a survey or hotline,
ethics hotlines,
it's, mm-hmm. it's having this information, but also explaining exactly what happens. Like this is how, because this is the gap. There's a lack of trust. Is this confidential? Explaining that in real talk, mm-hmm. but also thinking as you're working on it, because in addition to name, the zip code, sometimes it says department, location.
Yeah.
And people are filling out and they're like, I am the only person in my department. Yeah. So you are going to know what it is. And so thinking about those categories. And so I tell organizations, it's better to get less data about who that mm-hmm. person is and have more of a text box mm-hmm. where they can just put their thoughts, because I get that you want to see trends and things like that. But if you're trying to get people's input, the fewer questions identifiably you ask, the better information you're going to get. And so I think my tip, and on Lee's thoughts on what you do and what you do afterwards, but mine is really being thoughtful about the questions you ask, and as if people are going to look at it and think, well, you know exactly who the frick I am. So mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I would just like to say, you know, to Jamie sharing that they've always been anonymous in her career. They've always been anonymous in mine. And so there is this, you know, sense on the internet, on yeah. the interwebs, yeah. right? Everyone's like, oh, don't actually fill out the survey. Well, yeah, don't do it if you're not going to be honest. That's totally fine. I'd prefer that. Don't do it if you're not going to be honest. But really, they are anonymous. If the organization is using a third party, and depending on what type of organization you work at, right? And so, yes, it may be true that, you know, this guy had an experience where it wasn't so anonymous. But you know what? 9 times out of 10, I'm going to say if an organization is funding an employee engagement survey, they're paying for it, they're resourcing it, it's going to be anonymous. It just is. Mm-hmm. And to that point, people, I think, sometimes believe that we care about details like that, that we don't have time to care about. Mm-hmm. I literally would not have time to go and hunt something down, nor would I care to. Yes, I care about you and your feedback. I don't give a shit who said it. Like,
but
it was
not
said,
you, but I don't think it's HR. This is the gap, is I think people say
managers.
HR. People, right. People say it's HR.
Managers.
It's actually not managers. It's C-suite leaders.
Yeah. They're like, who said this? Well, I don't know.
The people that are literally saying, we want it for strategic reasons, and their whole role is strategic. Ooh, a C-suite leader will become sucked into that is the most,
so true.
You are listening, are thinking of, you know, some of these C-suite leaders, that they will get pulled into that minutia. Mm-hmm. And the when they get that feedback that by God, an employee is relying on that confidentiality. And I agree, all the tools I've ever seen are confidential.
Yeah, yeah.
Why it's not is when people ask those questions that come with the survey data know who I am. But the C-suite will react. And when someone has talked about their experience or their feedback, like, you know, this leader makes me feel less than in the workplace, or makes me feel like an idiot when I speak up. Well, who said that? I bet I know.
And it's always the managers that are like, who do you think said that? I think it was Monica. And I'm like,
We don't know if it was Monica.
Yeah, I was like, we have no idea, but guess what? You can't fucking retaliate.
Shout out to Monica Lewinsky, by the way. We're all big fans of
love her, to have Monica on the podcast, BT Dub. And I'm going to throw it out there.
But it's a good point. It's confidential. But Lee, what you do afterwards?
Something.
Yes.
Like literally in full stop right there. You do something.
Yes.
Or else, you know what? Don't fucking ask people for any of their feedback.
Yeah,
or
because they're never going
to
trust
to bother
to take the 10, 15-minute survey.
It is so cruel and it is so rude to just do a survey for the sake of doing a survey because you want to check a box and feel good about yourself. You know what I mean? Like literally take the survey. Take it seriously and do something with the results. You have to have some sort of action, you know, and something, an action that is actually going to do something with the data you got. Not the type of lip service action after, which is like, here's the results.
Yeah.
Yay.
I think it's also
Let's
important
have a pizza
too,
party.
For when the results is every manager should be held to action plan and not just truly, you know, say, oh, okay, these are your results, share them. No, no, I want action plans. I want to know. And I'll actually tell y'all about a funny time. One time, it was specific.
We'll be the judge of that.
One time in our corporate office, there wasn't a whole lot of people in the corporate office. It was very lean. But I think we had like 30 to 40 people. We had one microwave and I cannot... Yeah. And of course, everyone wants to eat at the same fucking time. I cannot tell you how many times it was mentioned about having more than one microwave. Do you know what a simple fix that was?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not kidding. I bought on my lunch break. I went out and I bought two additional microwaves. So we had three. And people were
Jamie,
like,
absolutely.
Jamie, well, I mean, Jamie. They didn't know I did it, but
though
I should have gotten the glory. No, yeah. but people like the buzz around that, like, oh my God, that was something so simple that executives didn't think about because they're usually going out to lunch or,
well, but
you know
also,
what I mean?
Did they, I'm curious, did they say we got this feedback and that's why we bought the microwaves? Because I will say, I think that's a really important part of it. And it sounds trite, but
we did after the fact. So we had our CEO present the results.
It's like, where no one's getting a pay increase, but by God, you're getting a microwave.
But it's so funny that it really can be that simple. I remember another time where employees were specifically in one of our medical facilities, didn't feel safe after dark because the back lights in the parking lot never worked. Another thing, I called up that manager and I said, three employees said this. Figure out how we need to fix this light. I mean, sometimes it is that simple. Sometimes it really is a light, a microwave.
Well, I appreciate that because we talk a lot about managers and like feedback and survey about managers, about leaders, but you don't always have the avenues to talk about like literally things like that, like your safety at work or travel for work, how that feels, how that can feel to have to go and travel, putting, you know, advancing expenses to the company, but also colleagues that aren't managers and talking about, you know, so I think some of those questions that you say, like, are like, even to get some of that recognition, like, are there colleagues that you feel like, you know, went out of their way and or really helped you in their work? Or are there other times where you felt disrespected by a colleague? And asking some of these questions. And I know from the lawyer aspect, there's people that don't like to ask these questions because they think, well, this is just going to open up Pandora's box. Well, let me tell you, if you have things open, there's no box involved. And so people aren't having to keep things secret. And so I'd rather have those communications out in the open. And so some of it's up and down, but also some of it's across and getting a sense of where there's hang up. So I love that idea of things that can make an impact. Do you ever wish that you had an HR legal bestie in your pocket? 650 is just that. Your trusted, always available ally for your employment law questions, minus the hefty price tag of a lawyer. Compliance may not be your favorite chore in HR, but it's important and it's hard. But 650 is here to make it easy. With 650, managing multi-state HR compliance is a breeze. Their tools help you to understand complex state laws and craft compliant documents effortlessly, but also keep everything up to date automatically. They have a comprehensive What's the Law in This State library to a 50-state employee handbook builder. 650 turns compliance into convenience. So, HR pros juggling multi-state teams, simplify your compliance today. Visit 650.com/besties
That's SIXFIFTY.com/besties and discover how to stay ahead with 650's seamless solutions.
So I'm curious, do you all have any horror stories from employee engagement surveys? Any horror stories? You know, I'll share from, you know, Jamie's example about the text box, right? There's always things in the text box. And some of those have been wow.
Yeah. Right?
They almost use them like a priest or a therapist or a judge or something. But that's when actually going to the third party and getting details on someone can be important, because, you know, I've had someone like divulge they wanted to hurt themselves, right? And, and so those types of things will come out. And that's when it's really important to be, you know, not anonymous, right?
I mean,
if someone's personal safety, and then having somebody say, oh, I want to hurt somebody or kill, air quotes, like literally kill somebody. It's like, oh, okay, well, we're going to, let me ask the vendor, you know, who this is, right? Because we take, you have to take those things very, very seriously in the workplace.
I don't have any horror stories, actually, but I was always so surprised how detailed people would be in the text boxes. I mean, they might as well just say, I'm Jamie Jackson, I work X, and my boss is a C and X Tuesday.
Like, I mean, you know what? Then kudos. Like,
get it out.
Like,
get it out.
But it was always so shocking to me. And of course, me being the one that read all of them, It was always like, wow, oh, well, all right. You incriminated yourself.
It's interesting. I'd say from horror story, like definitely things you see, and to Lee's point. And that's why I do think it's communication and telling people this is confidential. We don't know. The only exceptions to this is if something comes in that has things like self-harm, you know, threats, you know, discrimination, harassment, then we may have to. And so if you have those type of concerns, we would ask you to, you know, and give people an alternate avenue and explain, because it's important to us to follow up and then follow up. And so that's why the levels of communication in writing them. One of the things I've done frequently is work with organizations to rewrite some of the language on their survey. And every time, oh my God, we didn't think about that. And I said, well, that's why you're listening to HR Besties, because we, you know, the silver lining to some of the gray clouds that we've lived in our employment, and that you have as well, is using those experiences to help others, to add that in. But, you know, it's interesting. It's related to surveys, like I said, kind of hotline surveys, things like that. As I've worked globally, and this is more lawyer and HR, Ashley, you know, you can't have these like anonymous surveys everywhere. There are countries, like I want to say like, France, Belgium, that like it's very limited what you can anonymously report. Again, I may be misspeaking, so please don't take this as gospel, but there's all over the world. So some of these things, it's like you can only report like financial fraud through an anonymous survey. Everything else you have to actually report. And it's so unusual, because I actually think having these anonymous avenues, whether it's a survey or whether it's a, you know, year-round type portal, and giving people that so that they can vocalize that is absolutely important. But it's an interesting part for some of our global audience, that like the idea of an anonymous survey to you may be like verboten, to use a non-French or Belgian word.
Right. So to that point, any questions or comments? Any questions or comments?
Lee, do you want to kick us off this time? Because as a family member, as the head of our household,
we're like
in that
here.
Question, what do you want to kick us off?
Sure, I absolutely can. Not a comment, but a quick question. What is the coolest engagement activity you all have ever seen in the workplace?
One of my favorite ones is an escape room. I know that is so fucking cheesy, and I hate myself.
I mean, well,
but
I love it.
I love an escape room. But it's funny, the roles that people play in the room are different than what they play at work. So I'll use myself as an example. So at work, am I a leader by title? Absolutely. But I am one with the people. But in that room, I am fucking screaming. I'm bossing you around. I am like, you, Lee, go over there. Get the thing out the microwave.
So you're a drill sergeant in an escape room.
I take charge. I am the leader. And I am very aggressive, where I'm not super aggressive at my actual real job. So I those are my favorites.
So I'd say I was part of a legal team, and we called ourselves the best team ever. And we once did a cake decorating offsite, and we were in teams. But let me tell you this, lawyers, they like to be perfect. They like to get shit right. I am not creative. I am a shitty cake decorator. And I've literally realized this about myself, but it was like literally hilarious how people are teaming together and people had like looked up, brought in like a printed design the night before. I mean, there were no like lawyers. There should have been some rules, but I tell you what, it was absolutely quite a bit of fun because you did see some of the creative things and we all got to eat cake at the end.
God, so
it was a total win-win. It was a lot of fun.
Well, it'd be like, is it cake?
Oh yeah,
so like love that show.
Love that show. We do
shout out.
Is it cake?
We send each other.
Yeah, we want to be. That's our. That, yes. That would be a dream. Because
please,
oh my god,
yes, we would love to be the judges. There's three.
Like we send
hello,
each other
one, two, three
videos of is it like yes. Is it cake? And we no. have to guess.
My 6-year old loves it.
I know.
Yeah, he screams it out with me.
I'm gonna put it on our socials when this comes out. I did it at home. I made a grilled cheese and tomato soup with my kids. Is it cake? It was cake imposters, dessert imposters.
Oh, yeah.
I guess it wasn't as a cake exactly.
Yeah.
I'm mixing metaphors, but yes.
Yeah. Oh,
yes.
My God. I am a slut for cake.
All right. What's your engagement?
So I think one of my funnest, and I've had the luxury of quite a few really cool engagement activities in the workplace, was when we did a site-wide haunted house. And what this looked like was our whole facility turned into this haunted house, but it was different rooms based on departments.
Ooh.
So the way this workplace was set up, like there was the HR offices and then there was the finance offices. And so we decorated for literally weeks. Okay. Like, I mean, we probably almost shut the business down, to be honest with you. We like everyone took so much time. We had to give departments budgets to really decorate. I mean, it was intense.
Wow.
Okay. It was intense. And we opened up the whole place as an open house for families on Saturday and everyone got to go through it. Right. You know, so it was like the Saturday before Halloween or whatever. And everything was themed. So I remember HR was like superheroes and we did like a skyline out of construction paper. We all dressed as superheroes and all this. Engineering did like a zombie apocalyptic wasteland. Like, what was that show?
Walking Dead?
Yeah.
Walking they filmed it here in Atlanta.
They did a Walking Dead and they like unhinged some of the fluorescent lights, turned over desks. There was like thousands of newspapers everywhere. Like it was, you thought you were
that is
in
so cool.
Yes. And then, you know, some of the welders downstairs put together this huge, like 20-foot scrap robot. That was probably like against policy, like how we use scrap. You know what I mean?
Not
this
for Halloween.
Huge robot with light. I mean, it was legit.
That's so cool.
Right. So shout out to that business. We all had so much fun. It brought us like, it really legit brought us together. It was like a real cool engagement activity.
I actually just thought of another one that I can't believe I forgot. When I worked in hospitality, we took the grand ballroom and we rented a shit ton of bounce houses and like slides and stuff. And we had so much fun.
You forgot that and mentioned
escape rooms.
What the
I
fuck
know.
Is wrong with you?
I know. Oh, my
that
God.
Is so
I
cool.
cannot.
Very
like.
Fun.
Me and
who got hit in the face with the ball? Somebody got hit in the eye with the ball.
No, right? There was no balls.
Good. That's good. Good audio content.
No balls. But oh my God, actually, this is a secret. This is when me and my husband were actually working together at the same time and briefly dating and working together. And like me and
him. I love that that's the thing you think is like the most scandalous to
damn
whisper.
Ball. Oh, we had a damn ball to the wall in there. And I remember like, people
that
years
so
later
cool.
being like, can we do that again?
It's like yesterday. Oh, you know, I love that. Yes. I mean,
grown ass adults in a bounce house just
absolutely.
Giggling and wow. laughing. And
being free.
Yeah.
I'll add my comment to this, which is related, yes, which is as we talk about things, think about this in the memories that you have from the workplace. And these memories, you know, aren't, oh, I worked on this project. I'm so proud. And I'm
Hell
sure
no.
you have those. But this idea, like some organizations, and you have to decide what's going to work with your organization and blah, blah, blah. But,
yeah.
But this aspect of like the thing that people do to have fun and giving people that like levity, like God by God, when I've worked in legal and HR departments, sometimes the most fun we would have is watch these like YouTube videos or like the dress,
yeah.
like is it
yeah.
blue or white
yeah.
or silver,
yeah.
or whatever,
yeah.
like, yeah. like that type of stuff is, it matters. And it is, yes, it is work. It is life. And like workplaces have this unique ability to make real ripple impacts on people's lives
mm-hmm.
and have things. And HR has a privilege to help to show why this matters. And you can find all the data in the world online and just pull up your Google
yeah.
to show this. But like, listen to the energy in the things you think about and like make time and space for that. Because by God, like life is too short to like come in and check in and not have these moments that you're like, God, this was a blast.
Yeah. No, I love that.
Yeah, treat it like your family.
Except for it's not a blast. But, when Jamie's make me cry in the corner because I fuck up in the escape room.
Exactly,
aside from that,
right?
It's all fun and games.
Oh my gosh. Jamie, any question or comment?
No.
I thought just like a real meeting.
No.
I'm good.
I got
places to be.
I respect that.
And to that point, we do have a hard stop, everybody. Thank you so much for joining our meeting today.